Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy connecting the light. My guest today is Karen Doonan. She's an author of a book called Truth Codes, Chronicles of the Orion Messages. I've lost the end of the title there. Never mind. She'll tell me what it is. She has done, and I believe still does, channeling. She has had contact with quite a few different entities. She is a psychic empath. She's a clinical therapist, a life coach, tarot reader, spiritual warrior. She does radio shows. She's into UFOs, past life regression. There's not much left there, is there? Welcome to the program, Karen.
Thanks.
You've got a long list of interests and probably experience and qualifications there. Now, what was the title of your book? Part of it was missing off my email.
It's Truth Codes, Chronicles from Orion. I've titled it from the beings from the Orion constellation.
Right. Well, how long ago did you write that book?
The book came through probably about a year ago, and then it took quite a few months, and it's been published now for about a few months. It came through sort of the end of last year, September last year is when I finished it.
Right, okay. And is that totally relating to the messages from Orion? In other words, it's not a written book in the sense that you just refer to parts of it. Does it actually carry the messages or simply extracts?
It's a little bit of both. The beings were quite insistent that in today's sort of throwaway world, you know, the internet, somebody reads a channeling perhaps and then goes on to another channeling, that they wanted a book written where people could delve into the book and refer back to it, and they had something physical that they could read and reread. Because right. I think the more that you reread passages in the book, once you start moving in vibration, it helps you further. So there's always something more.
Yes. So when did you actually start to write the book?
It started coming through around about July last year.
Oh, I see. Yes.
I was putting a lot of public channelings on the internet.
Yes.
And then they asked me to start channeling the book. And the book does cover all aspects of human life, really. I don't think there's anything I don't cover. And it's for people also who perhaps are new to channeling. It's written in a very straightforward way, so they give scenarios and they explain it really well of how you can move through all the difficulties that you're faced with.
Yes.
When you start awakening, I suppose.
Right, so now let's get back to where this all started with you. How did you come to get into channeling? Were you already sort of developing your spiritual knowledge, and did someone come to you? I mean, how did that happen?
I started off a few years ago that, my intention was to become a crystal healer. I'd always had an interest in crystals.
Yeah.
So I started training in crystals, and then I trained in colour and vibrational medicine. And part of the course was to do a lot of in-depth meditations. And it was during one of those meditations that the Orion beings came to me. And I had always taken through channelings that were personal and never shared them before. And it probably took about a year for me to be brave enough to put them on the internet.
Yes.
And to share the messages. And then it just sort of evolved from there, really.
Okay. Now, when you say they came to you in your meditation, was that purely, shall we say, a telepathic contact, or did you actually see them?
No, it was visual. They came to me very visually. straight off. They didn't explain to me who they were. They just kept showing me the same visual image again and again. Information came through slowly, and then they explained who they were. And then other things that had gone on in my life started making sense. All the numbers, and like Orion is connected to the number 10. So I'd always had the number 10 coming through my life. And there was other numerical sequences that started making sense. So it was like putting together a huge jigsaw puzzle. But as usual, you get one part and then you have to go and find a different part.
Right. Now, when they came to you, did you always get the same person?
The first one, no. The first one that I put publicly was a being called Aliyah.
Yeah.
And it was explained to me that she was an aspect of self on Orion. And she connected to me first. And then she explained to me the connection that I had with the High Council of Orion. So she was almost like a go-between. And then once I had connected fully to them, she stepped back. I do have contact with her, but it's mainly the High Council themselves that will come to me.
Right. So, I mean, to the average person, they would possibly believe that if it happened to them, when someone comes to them, they would be perhaps quite shocked or unable to cope with it. Now, had you some prior knowledge or understanding that it enabled you to accept that?
Yes, I've always had an interest in, I suppose, what people would say, UFOs. I've had a few experiences when I was younger. And I'd always had an interest in, you know, crystals and runes and tarot cards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when I started training in my crystals, I trained with a lady called Kathleen Murray, who is connected to crystal skulls.
Oh,
so
yes.
The work that we were doing involved meditations with crystal skulls. And I remember walking into her healing room and seeing all these amazing skulls and all different forms of crystal and immediately recognising them. So the work between the crystal skulls and the crystals sort of prepared me for the beings coming in.
Right. So were these, if you like, small imitations of the big crystal skulls that we're more familiar with, like Max and the other sort of main 12 skulls, I think, that impart energies, and I think a part of a grid of power when they are all activated.
I mean,
were they miniature skulls, in other words?
Miniature, all different sizes, really. And Kathleen is caretaker or co-caretaker with a crystal skeleton called Ascara as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd done quite a lot of work with the crystal skulls and the skeleton, and it sort of all builds on itself. I think a lot of people are more connected than they give themselves credit for.
Yeah.
There's sort of little, I like to call them breadcrumbs that we leave throughout our lives. Mm. And I think that if people really looked at experiences they've had over their lifetime, there's been little clues as to what's coming next all the time.
Right, so where did the skulls come from? I mean, is it something that's been made? Are they ones that have been made recently, or are they ancient or something?
Well, the way that I connect to the skulls and the way that they explain it to me is that there is a skull consciousness, if you like. the crystal skulls that you have in the world that are carved help you connect to the consciousness, but you don't necessarily need to own a skull to be able to connect. It's all vibration.
Right, so how are they used then when you speak about healing?
They're good at space holding, if you like. I view them in that I'm a certain frequency, and the frequencies that come in to help the healing are a higher frequency, and sometimes the skull will help to sort of be the middleman, if you like, so that the frequencies can meet. So they're helping raise my frequency slightly, and then they're helping the higher beings sort of bring their frequency a little bit further down so that we can meet in the middle.
Right. Yes, I realise that the normal quartz crystals are powerful in their own way, and this is why, obviously, people wear them, isn't it, to bring the energy to themselves. And of course, it's accepted that these quartz crystals give out more energy than what they receive, and that's, I think, their main feature.
Working with the different qualities of the crystal as well as the consciousness.
Right. It's been fairly well publicised on the internet through various articles from Archangel Metatron that there are massive crystals which are being activated, and in the coming weeks, in December, they will create such a vortex of energy, it will actually be helping us to move into that ascension energy. Are you aware of that, or are you familiar with that type of work?
Yeah, a lot of work that I do is to do with the earth as well, where we're connecting the crystals, and we're cleaning layers and layers of different vibration from all the different dimensions, because everything is now, to help that energy be stronger and clearer, because it's affecting everybody, whether they're aware of it or not, really.
Okay. Well, since I've mentioned the word ascension, and that is a very important thing, that as you said, as an increase in energy is going to affect everyone, whether they realise it or not. How do you and your contacts see the process that's going to take place that will move us out of our present vibration into a higher one? What could you say about that?
I've asked the question. I've asked continually the question of how, when a world where we have people who are termed asleep and not aware, how we can get from there to the mass awakening that the messages are giving us. And they always explain to me that as everything is frequency, as we're raising our frequency, everybody else is raising their frequency as well, even if they don't know it. So the people who are termed asleep, if you like, are asleep in relation to the vibration of those who have moved in frequency. They still may be asleep, but they'll be able to accept a lot more than what they will accept at this moment in time.
Right.
So you could get to the point where people freely accept that we're not alone. But
carry on.
Sorry, they would freely accept that they're not alone. Whilst they might not be able to accept what people in a higher vibration can accept, and into that with the beings more fully, they still will be able to get to the point where they can accept that the, you know, planet Earth is not the only civilization in the universe.
Right. Do you think that the energies, though, that those who are only just awakening will be sufficient to enable them to ascend? I mean, will their consciousness have reached that level where they could do that?
Yes, I think they would. Yeah, because everybody who is awakening has chosen that. Some people have chosen to awaken at the very last moment, if you like, in relation to others who perhaps have spent years and years working through the process. Some people are now awakening and they're moving really fast.
Yeah.
But that's a decision, I think, they've taken at soul level before they came in. So I'd say that, yes, if you're aware that this is not the only inhabited planet in the universe, then yes, you will ascend. There's no way, really, that you can't.
Right, so... So does that allow for people that at the moment, because they aren't awakened, aren't interested in what is taking place, and in that event you would think would carry on in this same vibration, in the same dimension?
I think that the choice has been made, and I think it's just layers and layers. So we can inhabit a 3D Earth, but we're not going to have that much contact with somebody who's in a much lower vibration than we are.
Right.
So you can have layers of people existing. It's just that their actual interaction is not going to take place very often.
Right, okay. So I think I read into that, then there will be, in effect, two groups of people going on slightly different timelines.
Yes. and that there seems to be a lot of people worrying about leaving and leaving people behind. And it's not really you're leaving the person behind. It's all natural cycles. So the people who don't resonate with your frequency at the moment are naturally moving away from you anyway, as you gravitate towards other people who are of similar or higher vibration.
Yes.
So it'll just
yes,
be,
indeed.
You know, be that, oh, I've not heard from that person for, you know, 6 months. Could be you never hear from the person again because they're on a different path than you are.
Yes,
a different
right.
timeline. Yeah.
Yes, and that all really, for me, fits in because we all have total freedom of choice. They may be presented with information about the coming changes, but if they don't want to accept them or be involved in them, then that is indeed their choice, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. And it is a choice at all times. And I don't think we can wake people up, as it were, or even make the judgment that, you know, that person's not listening to me, therefore they're asleep. Because some people are getting very, very late to wake up, but they will wake up.
Yes. Oh, I agree with you there. Yes, because everybody has the same potential, and it doesn't really matter, as far as I can see, when they choose to evolve. The point is time is of no consequence. Life is infinite, so they can, in a manner of speaking, take as long as they like.
They can, yeah. And I think the main thing that comes through from the Orion beings is very much, you know, you cannot fail at what you came here to be. So if we're creating this life experience moment to moment, then there's nothing that you can miss out because you're creating it each moment. So yes, you have all the time that you need.
Yes, I agree on that. Right, now, when did you do your first channeling? How long ago did it actually start? Because you said it took a while before you started to write the book, which they asked you to do, but when did it actually start? How long ago?
Quite a number of years ago. Time is something that I don't really keep up with. So it's 2012. It's quite difficult. Everything just flows. The days and times that are challenging. Yeah. 2012, probably 3 or 4 years ago when I first started. But publicly,
Not in the past. Now, I read that the main purpose of your work is to help people to help themselves. So what is the main theme of your work? I mean, what is the essential points of the advice that you give people?
I find a lot of people come to me for confirmation of the information that they already have.
Yes.
So they already may feel an affiliation to a star system. And they're really wanting, first of all, confirmation that what they're getting through is what they think they're getting through.
Right.
And secondly, now that they've realised that they are what's termed a star seed, and they are here to help, what is the purpose of that help? What's the mission or the goal do they have in this lifetime? So I do a lot of work where I'm sort of like the bridge between the person and the energies that they're from. So I can take through the different star system energies so that they're getting clear guidance. And it's always to help them. So it's not, you know, you are here to do X, Y, or Z. It's exercises, meditations, things like that that will help them discover themselves what it is that they're here to do.
Yeah.
Because we're all here just to remember. You know, it's not a learning process, it's a remembering process.
Now, you mentioned there about, I believe, the energies of the different star systems. Do you therefore think that people that come from these different star systems, which we must all do, in theory, there's no such thing as an Earth person because we've all come from somewhere else. But do you think then, like you, for example, that you attract the same type of energies to yourself because that really is you?
Yes and no. I can normally spot Orion starseed straight away. There seems to be that the energies from anybody from Orion are quite logical, which is fine when you're from a planet that is not in duality.
Yeah.
But planet Earth does play to the mind and not to the heart. So Orion starseeds perhaps have an added challenge in that they need to step out of the head and back into the heart.
Yes.
And they will try and mentally work things out constantly.
Yeah.
Somebody who's Pleiadian, for example, would be more heart than head. So they would probably try and process other people's emotions.
Yeah.
So their challenge will be to step back, because their role is not to process emotions for everyone around them. You know, that will just wear them out. So it's different. Different star systems have different traits that once you can see what the traits are, it becomes very obvious which star system the person is from.
Right, but it is a collective effort then of merging these energies on the Earth. When you talk about sort of working from the heart, would that be a little bit more than intuition? Would that be contacting perhaps your higher self? How would you express that?
Well, being in the heart, yes, is about connecting to how you feel. And it is all emotion. I started off being more, I can't remember what the word, proper technical word for it is now, but I had right. feelings more than sight. So I wasn't really,
yeah.
although I was slightly clairvoyant, I was more sort of clairsentient, where you can feel. So I could feel more than anything else.
Yeah.
And then over time, I've honed all the other ones so that they're all, you know, stronger than they were. but the first one that always comes to me is a feeling. And I think that on planet Earth, we are taught not to rely on our feelings. We're taught to ignore how we feel over logic. And the first part is getting in tune with yourself. How do you feel? How does the situation make you feel? And then work from there upwards. So then, yes, connection to your higher self. And then once you begin to trust that connection, then you can take your connections higher and then higher infinitely.
Yes, indeed. I know in, I think, one of the messages, it did say that the human vibration is affected by all that surrounds it. Well, of course, that does make obvious sense, because everything is energy anyway. Now, you've got a very nice website. It's quite attractive. And on one of the pages, you've got a series of symbols, and one of them you describe as representing free will. Now, where did those symbols come from?
Those symbols are courtesy of StarKnowledge.tv. That's another website that I found one day. And these are symbols that they have taken through. I think they came through from another race of beings. And they're galactic language. If you were to go to StarKnowledge.tv, they have other language as well, which is a set of symbols and dots, which is like a galactic language that is used. Because, of course, the human race, we have so many different languages.
Yeah.
That it's a barrier in itself.
Right, so you're saying that that type of symbolism, that's language then, is it, in other words, type of language?
Yes, because I think I'm always told that everything is hidden in plain view. So I think there are a lot of things that we sort of dismiss as a symbol, which actually is more communication than we're giving it credit for. So it may appear as a symbol, but actually it's a universal language.
Right,
and a deep part of us knows that. We just have to try and translate it down into our consciousness again.
Yes. Okay. Now, I'd like to get back to your messages, in the sense that I read you've had them from the High Council, which you've mentioned, a group you call the Shimmering Ones. I like the idea of that. That sounds very good. You've had the Anunnaki. I don't know whether that is the Anunnaki, the same as the extraterrestrials that visited the Sumerian, or it's just coincidence and it's a similar name. Then you've channeled the Nephilim, the Sentinels, the Fairy Realms, the Tree Realms, and I think some other galactic councils. I did like reading your messages. I must say, something appealed to me in Triangulum, and you've had beings from beyond, so that's quite a lot of different energies. Now, do you still channel from all of those now, or is it more sort of condensed?
The main one at the moment seems to be Triangulum.
Right.
They have stepped out and want a voice just now. They come to me at different times. It really depends what guidance they're giving me. If they want a voice and they ask me to put it publicly, then, you know, I honour the request and put it publicly. There are a lot of different energies there, and some people do question the amount of different races that have come through. But I think they're just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
The sheer amount of planets that we have in this universe.
Yes.
You know, perhaps there are hundreds more queuing up, ready to come through. But
yes.
These are the ones that are requesting a voice at the moment.
And of course, I think you had a single message, or maybe more, perhaps they're not on your webpage, from me to Tron yourself.
Yes. I've done quite a few audio channelings as well. I do them in the form of podcasts. and Metatron has come through a couple of times and requested a voice. So I've uploaded those channelings. I did question as well, you know, why have I gone from the written word to audio? And it is to do with the sound of the human voice and the way the energies come through the human voice. I've been told that, you know, the new coding that's coming through is coming through tonally as well as energetically.
Right. Okay, now, I am drawn to the idea of the shimmering ones. Were they entities that you actually met? I mean, have you got anything to say about that?
The shimmering ones, that's really the only way I can describe them. They have come to me visually, and they do shimmer.
Yeah.
And they're sort of like a pale blue. But the shimmering, even shimmering is not quite the right word for the way that their energies look. It's difficult sometimes in human language because you're given a visual and then you're trying to have the words that describe the visual. But yeah, shimmering is the closest I could come to it, and they were quite happy being called the shimmering ones. So, yeah.
So what you're probably seeing is a very highly evolved being that doesn't have form such as we unite, but a very, what would you call it, sort of etheric type body.
Yes, yeah, they wouldn't have form at all. Mm. No, they're just shimmering.
All sounds very interesting. When you've spoken to these different energies, I'll call them, do you find that their messages are very much the same as far as you're concerned?
Yes, they're very similar. And I think the reason that they're similar is that, you know, truth just is. And perhaps we need to hear reminders of our truth in slightly different formats and slightly different ways. But it's the same message. And the underlying message of all of it is just love, because that is, you know, the one energy that the universe is made up of.
Right. So is the fact that you have so many contacts coming through you, and of course there's lots altogether coming through various channeling sources, do you think this is a sign of the important time that we're now in, where the sort of extraterrestrials, the higher beings, are coming to us in sort of full force to try and help us to get through this period of upliftment?
Yes, definitely. Because I think with the chaos that's in the world just now, the way that our societies are generally breaking down because they no longer work, they're coming to us en masse now to help us.
Yeah.
To lift the veils, as it were, and to make us see that, you know, this is not the end of the world. It may be the end of the way societies were created and the way societies are lived, but it's certainly not the end of anything. You know, it's a change and it's a new cycle.
And yes.
With all change and with all things new, there is that anxiety and frustration that we have, and they're just helping us through any frustration and anxiety, because it's always difficult if you're heading towards a new horizon and you can't see what's on the horizon, then it's always difficult to keep moving towards it. And they're helping just move us, you know, step by step, and then we'll get there. We don't have to see the bigger picture. We just have to keep moving forward little by little.
Right. So what is over the bigger horizon?
Oh. a new world.
A new world.
A new world. A new way of living. I think if you look at the whole of human history, you know, it's just been cycles and cycles of going round in circles, really. And not really evolving. and were being given this chance to step out of that and to start really creating together. You know, we all share a planet, we may have different languages, you know, different colours of skin, but essentially, you know, we are a human race. And perhaps it's time that we just let everything go and just celebrate the fact that we're all on this one planet.
Right. Now, I know you have some thoughts about star seeds and why they are here. Would you like to tell us why they are here?
I'll try. The information that I've been given is that the human race has free will. Every race in the universe has free will. So that our galactic brothers and sisters couldn't really step in from the outside and show us things that have been kept from us. So what was decided would happen is that beings from different planets would come in and help through the human race.
Yeah.
So the star seeds are here to help raise the vibration of the human race in general, but from within. But it was always known that when you came to planet Earth, that, you know, the energies are quite dense compared to other planets, and that we may forget why we came here. So we have left breadcrumbs, we've left people and places, you know, events, to help remind us of who we are.
Right.
And then by changing the way that we react to people around us, you know, by keeping our vibration high, then we are changing the vibration of the human race, and then human consciousness is evolving.
Right.
And as human consciousness evolves, then, you know, every human being feeds into the pool of human consciousness. So then people are naturally going through the expansion and the growth.
Right, yes. So I think the question some people might ask, they might say, how would I know if I was a star seed? Is there any way that people can tell if they are of that type of vibration or origin?
I think for the star seed, you would just realise that there's something more. At the moment, there's a lot of dreaming going on. So a lot of people are contacting me, asking me what they're being shown in their dreams. Some people are aware that they've had a dream where perhaps the beings in their dream were not humanoid. They resembled something else.
Yeah.
And felt it was really real as opposed to, you know, a normal dream, if you like. And that's their memories coming back. So I think if you can... Or if you align with a star system, I think if you can get very emotional when you hear the word, you know, Orion or Pleiades or Arcturus or whatever, that would indicate that you are a star seed. Questioning human life, I think, would show you the star seed. Just this need to know a bit more.
Right, so it suggests that what with the star seed, the indigos, I think the crystal children and so forth, there have been lots of higher beings that have come to the earth and taken the human form to, in a way, you could say, sort of push us forward that as many souls as possible actually make the change from this cycle to what is often called the new age.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Because I think that until you start challenging, then you're not going to expand and grow. You know, there are routines on planet Earth that keep you from questioning.
Mm.
And I think it takes certain individuals to stand up and say, well, hold on, what about this? Or I don't quite agree with this, and be vocal about it. And then people start challenging what they've been taught.
Yes.
So I think that you can be, depending on the life that you've come in to live, you can be unaware of teachings that are within you that blind you to ways of being, if you like. So it's only by challenging everything, every bit of news, every bit of information, and seeing if it resonates with you and not just accepting it as true.
Yeah, so I know in your messages there is a lot of emphasis put on people sort of going within and searching within. And I know it's often said as a spiritual teaching that all knowledge is within. But of course, I imagine some people would wonder, well, how do I find it? I suppose that is a difficulty, to know whether or not they are actually bringing out the higher knowledge that is somewhere within. I mean, do you do workshops? I think I said you did, didn't I? You do, yes, don't you?
Yes.
Right, so when you do a workshop like that, I mean, how do you get people to find what is within? Do you suggest they meditate or something like that?
A lot of the workshop stuff that I do is very experiential, if you like. It's not me standing saying, you know, this is this and this is the next thing. The beings are very aware of the need to connect people, first of all, back into planet Earth, because this is your host planet. To understand what's going on with the planet, you really need to connect with the planet, first of all. And then they usually bring through meditations and exercises so that people can experience the energies. So there's a lot of visualization that takes place. So they will take them into a pyramid or a place within their themselves, and then they will introduce the energies that want to step forward to work with them. So that's really the first connection people have. And that's their starting point. So once they have this meditation and this connection, they can work further at their own sort of pace. So okay. For some people it's meditation, other people it's perhaps writing. It's different for every person, really.
Yeah. Right, so in one of the messages that you had from Elia, I noticed the statement was made, it is not a matter of using logic to get ahead in the ascension process. So I suppose you're really coming back to what you've just been saying. Don't maybe put too much into what you read or what you hear, but go within and test it there, because you'll intuitively feel what the truth is. Would that be correct?
Yes, that is correct, because the human brain, and the beings like to talk about the human vehicle. So we're a soul that's come into this planet, and the vehicle that we use to move around the planet is the human body. And the human body was provided with a brain. But that brain is only connected to the human body that's here.
Yeah.
Your connection to Source and your connection to your soul is through your heart. So
right.
While your logical brain may help you file facts and may help you anchor the memories, your actual memories of who you are and where you came from are at soul level, and you don't need your human brain to reach there. You need your heart.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. And I read in the same message that Elias said, be aware that a meeting with a fellow human may trigger the next level of ascension within you. So it is possible, I gather from that, for someone perhaps to work with you or say things like you're doing in your workshops that will suddenly awaken you to the truth.
Yes, very much so. I've had various meetings and there is no coincidence. You know, we write people in to our life story. And I've had various meetings with people who have come out with either statements or even just being in their presence for a little while, and it's just set off another vibration, and it's just moved it ever so slightly. Because there's although you're having a physical conversation, a bit like just now where we're physically talking, but on an energetic level, there's another conversation that's taking place. So it's all on different levels. And that's maybe how they work. A lot of the time people will come to me and say, but, you know, I've just chatted to this person for half an hour and I don't understand why they were presented to me. Mm. But it's not the actual meeting. It's the energetic exchange that takes place. And then perhaps a few days after that, knowledge will start coming through, and then your frequency will start changing.
Very interesting. So since I'm sure you will agree that nothing really happens by chance, so when people somehow seem to be guided or come across someone that can help them in that way, I guess that's intended, because they are ready for that movement upwards in their expansion of consciousness. So, you know, in other words, it happens at the right time.
It does, yes. And it's not so much linear time. I think that's what many people struggle with.
Yeah.
When your vibration is at the correct level, then the people that you've agreed to come into your life at that time will appear. It's absolutely staggering sometimes how the universe will bring those people in. But they will definitely come in. And these are the people that you meet that you feel that you've known forever.
Yes.
Or just met them. And that's soul connections. They are people who have come in to help you further. And it's all about reconnecting, you know, in human form.
Yes, it's a wonderful experience, I think, and even more so when you understand like that what is actually taking place. And yes, I've experienced this feeling when you meet someone that you feel like you've known them all your life and you've only just met them. So I suppose there's an immediate melding of your energies, and you must be, I suppose, very similar in your energetic signature.
Yes, and it is amazing. It's the one thing that people comment on all the time. It's like, why do I feel like I've known you forever, but actually I've met you 2 minutes ago?
Yes.
And it is just an amazing experience, and they're getting more and more in people's lives just now, because the need for the support from our, you know, fellow soul group is so strong just now that these meetings will increase and increase.
Right. What part do you think dreams will play in people's understanding?
I think they'll play a huge part, because when you walk in a dream time scenario, you don't have the conscious human brain sort of, you know, sticking its hand in saying, well, hold on just a second, you know, what about this? A lot of information is processed and a lot of information is taken through in the dreamtime landscape, because you're free to go anywhere and to be anywhere in dreams. And a large proportion of the world is asleep. Whilst the other proportion, there's more people asleep at any one time than there are people awake.
Is that
so? That you know, the conscious dreaming that's going on, and people are finding that they're dreaming and appearing in other people's dreams. So there's a lot of connections going on to the dream time landscape just now.
Again, I noticed in one of Elias' messages, he says, you dream the dream, dear ones. Do not allow illusion to pepper your dreams with low vibrations. But I suppose if you dream and they're low vibrations, is that something you've attracted to yourself?
Sometimes I think that the dreams that are perhaps a bit lower vibrational are a way of clearing other selves and other lifetimes.
Right.
Because we're sort of if everything is now, and we're all these different timelines and dimensions, then we are scattered throughout these different timelines and dimensions. And as we reach the frequency to access those timelines and dimensions, we're able to heal any trauma that has happened to us in those timelines. And then we're able to more fully align ourselves with the energy that we really are. So if people out there are having dreams that perhaps are not as wonderful as they'd like them to be, it's part of the healing process.
Yes, indeed.
They'll move and shift. If your frequency and your vibration moves, then the dreams will lessen, because you'll need to go, your need to go into these different timelines will reduce as you begin to heal and come back into balance again.
Right. Now, I'm sure you must obviously believe in karma. Do you think that as we're in the end times of this cycle of duality, as I do, that people have probably taken on a lot of old karma to try and clear it so that they're not carrying these energies to give themselves a real good chance of ascending?
Yes. The guidance that comes through is that we have a chance to come off the karmic wheel, if you like. Mm.
Yes.
So you'll have come in this lifetime with karma from other lifetimes. And because you're able to access these different timelines and dimensions, you can heal that karma. So as you're going through the ascension process, you are negating karma. So you'll come out of lifetimes of patterns, lifetimes of behaviours, and you'll be able to release that once and for all. So yes, you're coming off the karmic wheel, and you're living from a completely different vibration then, because you're not having to repeat the patterns.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to that. It's just as well, I think, that we don't have some sort of memory recall of all these different lives, because I have a feeling that as you evolve, if you look back to some of them, you probably wouldn't believe it was you. you may find you're involved in things that wouldn't even enter your mind today, so perhaps it's just as well you don't really know what you've been through. Do you do regression as well?
Sort of. I'm not too keen on the word regression, because everything happens now. So yes, I do work where I'm taking people into different timelines.
Right, yeah.
Generally, we sort of agree on the past life thing, because it's easier for the human brain to work with. So yes, but in reality, it's just accessing a different timeline and a different reality that they exist within.
Yep. Well, what went through my mind then was, if you're working with someone and they have brought problems with them, perhaps sometimes you need to go into that particular lifetime, or as you're calling it, a different timeline, to try and find out what the problem is.
Yes, and a lot of some of the physical symptoms that someone will come to me for healing for is directly related to the lifetime. So if we can move them back to that lifetime, and they're able to view it or understand it, that will clear the symptoms that they have, because they're patterns that are just being repeated. Once you can let go of the trauma and heal from that lifetime, then any physical symptoms you're displaying in this lifetime should go as well.
Yes. Well, it makes it easier to understand, and I suppose then also easier to deal with it. But what about people that feel that they've been thrown into bad relationships? I mean, that also, to my mind, is karmic problems they've got to resolve. But if people come to you and they're in a bad relationship, would you say, well, carry on and try and sort it out? Or do you advise people perhaps to cut their links?
It depends on the person. We're creating our own experiences. And often people who are what is termed star seeds and are here to help the human race, we can only help the human race if we've fully understood all the emotions that the human race can possibly experience. So a lot of people have come in and they've given themselves very traumatic lifetimes. So they'll have been in abusive situations, they will have been in abusive relationships, yeah. And it's allowing them to see that they've created this in order to experience that, but that's not actually what they're here for. And when they're ready, then they're able to begin the healing from that. And then as they move in vibration, they no longer need the relationship anymore. They've learned the lesson, they've understood the lesson, and then they can move forward.
Right, yes. Now, what part do you think Mother Earth plays in our evolution, and in particular, in the ascension process?
A very central one. We are children of Mother Earth, so anything that she does directly affects us, as well as us affecting her. And I think at this moment in time, it's vital to check in with Mother Earth and see what's going on. A lot of people are reaching out and trying to get into the higher dimensions without grounding. And you can go as high as you like, as long as you're grounded. That connection into Mother Earth, because she's giving you energy and she's giving you healing and she's giving you so much. When you're firmly rooted into the planet, then you're feeling safe, you're feeling secure, and you're feeling balanced and centered. And then you can reach out to, you know, stars and beyond. And then you become a channel between the planet and the universe. So you're the connection. So everything's flowing up through you and out, but everything's flowing down through you and in as well. So it's a whole cycle. So it's very important.
Yeah, well, you've carried us a long way there with what you said. My goodness, to think of how powerful and how big we can be as a energetic being is quite staggering, really. Now, I have to go back and ask you about some source that you channel from called Tree Realms. Now, I think that's very interesting. There's a lot of talk about trees and how maybe we should embrace them and know that, like everything else, they've got a level of consciousness. But what did you learn about trees when you had that contact with the tree realms?
Mainly it was their desire to help. You know, they do provide the oxygen on the planet. There is truth in hugging a tree will calm you down and make you feel better. And it's the connection again to Mother Earth. Everything that survives on Mother Earth, everything that grows from Mother Earth, yeah, is an extension of Mother Earth. And the tree realms, you know, we have busy lives and we wander about and rush from point A to point B. But actually, do you take in the beauty of nature? Do you sit and let nature heal you? And the trees were just trying to say to us, look, you know, we're here and we've been here for millions of years, and it's time just to take a pause, just sit down, you know, and gather your energy. We don't need to be rushing from place to place.
Right.
So I think nature is very important, and people perhaps take it too much for granted. You know, yeah, for the walk tomorrow. We're actually just taking 5 minutes to be out in nature with the grass beneath your feet. It's perhaps all that you're needing.
I have read that, in fact, trees can give out healing energies. And there was a lovely story about trees on another planet that have the ability to withdraw their roots from the earth, and they can move to a different location if they want to. And I thought that was a wonderful idea.
Excellent. Well, there is perhaps on a different planet they're different colours, because I had recently done a workshop where the subject of cheese came up, and we were talking about cheese in different colours.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as I'm aware, there aren't any green on this planet, but purple cheese came up quite often. So perhaps there's a there's a reality out there somewhere where the cheese are purple.
Yeah. Well, why not indeed, yes.
Exactly.
I think what lies ahead of us with, as one hopes, if we're amongst those that ascend, with the opportunity to visit other planets, it's going to be very much an eye-opener, because I suppose unless we're prepared to expand our levels of consciousness to take in the idea that things can be very different on other planets, we might miss out. But it's nice to speculate on what the differences might be.
Exactly. Yes, because that's one thing that intrigues me sometimes when, you know, scientists go looking for other life, but they tend to come from the point of view that they're looking for life the shape that we are.
Yes.
But perhaps we're the only beings in the universe that are the shape that we are. You know, we seem to take shape and form for granted, and that's another expansion. You know,
yes.
There's nothing in life that's not seeded from the stars around us. So, you know, it's another way of looking at the world. And you make seeing the, you know, caterpillars, ants, beetles, they're a representation of life out in the universe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're talking of those type of things. I have to ask you about dragons.
Okay.
Are they real?
Yes, they are. They perhaps do not look exactly like some of the pictures. We've been given a very stereotypical view of dragons and what they look like. But yes, they are. They are a real energy. Yes.
So do they exist in a slightly higher vibration than ours so that they aren't normally seen?
Yes, they would be, yes. Because... yeah, once you reach a vibration where you can see the dragons, then yes. And the dragons can move between different realms as well, because there's dimensions between dimensions, if you like. So yes, they are very high vibration.
So the stories that are looked upon as being mythical about dragons in ancient times, then have an element of truth in them.
Well, yes, I think a lot of things that we have termed fairy tales have more truth in them than we realise. You know, I think there's a lot that we dismiss that we should perhaps have a second look at.
Yeah. Right, yeah, no, it's an awful lot to learn, really. But if people keep an open mind and are prepared to accept a truth they hear today which replaces one that they believed yesterday, I think they'll evolve. But I think part of the problem is some people have such rigid belief systems, they just won't move forward, will they?
Perhaps they will, perhaps they won't. The ones that have chosen to stay within 3D Earth possibly won't. Possibly they will have to come back, you know, and do another cycle and then perhaps choose that lifetime as the one that they expand and grow. But I think as more becomes mainstream, as more information is out there and more people begin to accept truth, then belief systems will fall. That's part of the expansion and growth process.
Yes. Right. Angels. Have you actually channeled angelic sources?
I have, yes. I have done readings for people. During healings, I've had angels come in.
Yeah.
and give messages to people and to help with the energies needed to help them come back into balance again. So yes, I've worked quite extensively with angels.
Have you ever seen any?
I have, yes. I've had a few experiences where I have seen angelic beings, and it's quite an amazing experience. It's the feeling, you know, when an angel or a team of angels steps in to help somebody, whether it's give them a message or it's to help them with healing, the feeling is just absolutely amazing. You know, angelic energy is just amazing, is the only word I can use, but it's not even, you know, it's not a big enough word to use.
I mean, how do they look? Are they just one mass of form and beautiful colours?
The ones that I've seen are colours, yes. They're amazing, different patterns of colours. Other ones are that come to me, perhaps a bit more traditional, where they'll show the wings. I think it's whatever anybody needs at any one time. They'll take on whatever form is appropriate for the message.
Yeah. Oh, well. I certainly believe that we do have angels as guides, and they do look after us. So you come across numerous instances of people being saved, possibly from death or serious injury, through the intervention of angels. Not that everybody perhaps recognises what has happened, but I think they really serve humankind from a very high level.
Yes, definitely. I've had a lot of people come to me with various experiences where, you know, somebody's just appeared out of the blue and helped them, and then they've turned around to thank them and they've disappeared. They can take various guises, and each person who comes in here is assigned an angel. You know, as soon as you're born, then you have an angel walking with you all throughout your entire life, until you're leaving the physical again. But it's whether people are connected enough into their heart to be able to feel them.
Wonderful.
You don't need to believe in them. They definitely believe in you.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I think people that perhaps haven't awakened must at times feel very separated and very lonely, because they're not aware of these higher beings that are around them. I mean, there are their own personal guides, the angelic warriors who protect them. There's these wonderful beings around them, but they can't sort of feel them or gauge their presence.
Yeah, and then you get the people who perhaps have got to the point where they're extremely low, and it's only getting to that point that they're able just to let everything go. And then they are able to, you know, to experience the angels. So it's quite amazing.
Yeah, it's lovely. When you know these type of things, I think life takes on a much different aspect and becomes more enjoyable. And I think it helps you through the difficult periods of your life to know all these things.
Now, definitely. It does give you a different perspective, yeah.
Yes. Now, I think I'm coming to the end of the program now, but is there anything that I haven't perhaps touched upon that you would like to mention? Any aspect of your work or your contacts?
I think we've covered quite a fair deal.
I think so.
People can get information from my website, and the website has, you know, the information for the podcasts, and, you know, I'm on Facebook and all the rest of it. But I firmly believe that, you know, if my work is going to resonate with you, then you will find my work, because everything's vibration. So, you know, I'm here waiting for people.
Right, I was going to ask you anyway to give your website address, so perhaps you might do that. I will circulate it anyway when I do the archive report to go with the recording, but so perhaps you'd like to give it out now.
Okay. It's www.crystalline-sanctuary.com.
Right.
From there, it links. I do have another website, which is thegalacticportal.com.
Do you?
That's more for the starseed stuff, and a lot of the galactic stuff is on there. But the links are from the main Crystalline Sanctuary website.
Okay, I didn't find that particular one. You say the other's website is galacticportal.com?
Yeah, thegalacticportal.com.
Okay.
There is a link to the audio channeling there as well on that website.
Yeah. Yes, I did listen to one of your audio channels. Yeah, very, very good. Well, I think you're doing a tremendous amount of work. I mean, I don't ask a lady what her age is, but you still sound quite young to me, but you're probably about 98 or something.
That was a joke recently that we had at a workshop. We're actually millions of years old, but nobody believes us.
Right, it's wonderful, I think, that the work you've got into, and by what you've said, in such a comparatively short time. I think you sort of go back about 4 years where this all really took off.
It did, yes, and it is quite amazing. I would encourage everybody who starts this process to perhaps keep a journal, because when you then start looking back to where you were even 2 months ago, it's amazing. How much in that short period of time.
Yeah, well, you're certainly very well informed, and for whatever's come through you by the way of the messages, you've certainly taken in a lot within yourself. I mean, I think sometimes it's difficult to remember the content if you get too many messages. But then having said that, something forms in your own mind, doesn't it, that you draw your information from. I guess what you're doing all the time without realising it is updating what you believe, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. And it does involve quite a lot of anchoring, quite a lot of adhering to the more sleep or just taking it easy and then, But it builds on. So that's another thing that people should take as well, that once you start, you're building, you're laying a foundation of just building different layers and layers onto everything.
Indeed, yeah. Well, I think we'll have to end it there. Thank you very much, Karen. It's been wonderful speaking with you. You're my type of woman, as you might say. You're very well informed, and I enjoyed speaking to you on those subjects. It's been very nice. So I wish you all the success with your website. And as I said earlier on, you've got quite an attractive one. I did find one page that kept going a bit fuzzy every time I tried to bring it up, but that apart, it's very good.
Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me on your programme.
Well, fantastic. I have to thank you very much for coming on at such short notice. It was very kind of you, because I was getting a bit worried in the end, because our listeners don't know that I was only able to contact you yesterday, and you kindly agreed to come on, which was brilliant. So thank you very much, Karen. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Well, friends, that was an excellent guest. I enjoyed that very, very much. And next week, my guest will be Joanna Johnson. She's into spiritual work, interested in the paranormal, past life regression. She's a life coach. She's into many, many things, done a lot of articles, lots of radio shows, so undoubtedly that will be someone else who's going to be very interesting. I gather that she's likely to come to the UK in the very near future, and most of her spiritual work is based on achieving our sovereignty. Anyway, thank you for being with me today. And I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.